You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And this is episode 207 of Columbia Calling. I apologize for the week off last week. You get busy and things catch up with you. And I wasn't ready to do a solo talk about the politics. I've been having a struggle in this renovation and restoration of my patio here in Bogota, which has seen the police come and visit my apartment 3 times. And you know what that means? It means paying them off, or sorry, maybe helping them out with regards to buying sweets for the local children. That's the way we worked this one out with them. But I'm not going to digress about that. Somewhere down the line, I'll write about how to pay off a Colombian policeman. But yes, this is episode 207. And on the line from Líbano, Tolima, is Michael Evans, who is known in some circles as Memphis Mike, but we're just going to call him Michael. But Michael Evans, he's a writer, he's a photographer, originally, as you'd guess, from Memphis, but now in Líbano, Tolima. So up the hill from Armero, the tragedy that took place many, many years ago, but still in very present in the minds of Colombians. Michael, welcome on Columbia Calling.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It's a great pleasure now. So how's life in Líbano? How does someone from Memphis end up in a small town in the center of Tolima?
Well, that story is too long to tell. Working on a boat in Alaska and backpacking in Peru and then finally landing in just a few steps away from a coffee plantation. That's for the book later.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we won't take away any of the special secrets for your book later. But you have a book out at the moment too.
I do. It's a book of photography.
Uh huh. Tell us.
It's called My Colombia: The First 7 Years.
Right.
I arrived here in 2010, and I spent quite a bit of time traveling. For work and for pleasure, so I had quite a collection of photographs that I wanted to put together into some sort of a form that I could share with other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you are a qualified photographer. This is not just some sort of Instagram account.
No. I mean, I studied photography in college. I actually had enough credits to have a degree, but they didn't have a bachelor's degree program at the time, just a master's degree.
Okay.
I studied television and film production with my major.
Wow.
But I was, before I came here, I arrived in Peru in 2008, literally as a backpacker. And while I was here, the economy collapsed.
Yeah.
In the United States, so they really, I didn't have a job to go back to, so I stayed, and I did spend some time photographing the ruins all over southern Peru, and started a photo tour in Cusco in 2009, but then swine flu hit, and there was a lot of political unrest in 2009. That sort of killed my business before I could get started. I ended up coming up here on vacation and stayed here.
So the political unrest in Peru took you to political unrest in Colombia?
Yeah, but the political unrest here has been actually much milder than the political unrest there was. It was quite turbulent in 2009 in Peru. That started... There were problems. It started with a police massacre up in the Amazonas region.
Yeah.
And as things go in Peru, Cusco, where I live, was the cultural capital, is the cultural capital of the country. So any protest that begins somewhere else always comes to Cusco.
Mm-hmm.
It got pretty dodgy there for several months. For a long time, the only way in and out of Cusco was by airplane. The protesters destroyed the highways near the city. So when I left, I was going to spend the rainy season just traveling, mostly in Colombia. And then while I was here, as soon as I arrived in Colombia, a huge flood hit and actually, for the first time ever, closed down Machu Picchu,
mm-hmm.
which essentially would shut down Cusco, too, for the entire season, for the 2010 season. So I just decided to stay here for a year and never move.
Yeah, I remember that flight. I worked as a guide for an international company taking groups through Machu Picchu, and I was frequently in Cusco from when I was working in that 2004 to about 2008 was the last time I did one of the groups. But I remember that flood very, very well because, of course, all my friends in the business down there were, the business was strangled by these natural disasters, and it made it impossible to work. I mean, of course, you shut down the number one attraction in South America, and that's, look what happens.
Right. I mean, I used to say that Cusco was the mecca of tourism in South America, yeah. And I think it probably is.
Yeah.
The biggest tourism industry. And, I heard from friends, it was very sad for me, because I loved Cusco very much. I could actually see myself spending the rest of my life there. Friends were telling me that families that had been in business for 30 years were going belly up.
Yeah.
And the crime rate went up. And, luckily they survived it and now they're thriving. Economically, they're doing better than ever now. But it's a very difficult year. I wrote it out in Colombia and kept writing.
So then, the first 7 years. Now, the first 7 years is available on your website. Your website. I'm just going to read it out for my listeners. It's www.d76.us. That's the 76.us. Is it just a period of time, or is it like the 7 year itch?
Well, it's a period of time. What I've been doing photographically is sort of trying to document the tradition of Colombia that still exists, especially here in the coffee region of Tolima and other coffee regions as well. The traditions that still exist alongside the modernization that's occurring in so many places.
Mm.
I live for a year and a half in Bogota, and even every time I go back to the city, it seems very different.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was very modern, it was a very cosmopolitan city when I lived there, I still see huge progress every time I go back, and then I see the same kind of thing happening here in Lebanon. I see a huge growth in the middle class. I see technology taking over. Yeah, the smartphone has changed everything. So it probably was really an internet connection when I first went to this town. So those were the two areas that I was focused on. But the book is tradition and progress side by side. And then, moving forward, I will continue with those two angles, and I also want to include the newfound peace, and I want to explore and document areas that have been red zones, some of them for years,
and you know, very few people have even been there. So I want to continue what I've been doing and move forward in that direction. So,
it sounds absolutely fascinating, and I've seen some of the photos on the website. Of course, you mean, don't want to cannibalize the whole book putting it up there, but there are examples. I mean, these are very well framed. Obviously, you've taken your time. Obviously, you've looked at what you want to do. You're really, it's clear you are a professional photographer. It's clear you know what you're doing. And now, you know, that's a relief at times, because everybody now, you know, I have a degree in journalism. I'm not a professional photographer. There's a huge difference to this, but you know, I do write, and there is always, you say, it's worth paying for a professional to do these things rather than in, let's say, someone who's not skilled. You can see the difference, but our businesses are getting harder and harder today. I mean, but you make a living out of this?
I've made a living mostly as a writer.
Okay.
I wrote for a magazine called International Living for a few years. I was a correspondent here. And before I did that, I was actually I do freelance writing. I've written a lot of blog posts about travel. I've also, for a while, I was doing just financial articles for websites like Bankrate and Yahoo Finance, Fox Business, a lot of online, and then the travel and lifestyle stuff, much of that is goes to print.
Oh, well. So it helps to be flexible. You can be a location independent professional, and it allows you to live your life. And it's something that hopefully we'll explore in the next segment of this show. Of course, is the life in a small town in rural Tolima. We say rural Tolima. I have the image in my head that most of Tolima is rural, aside from sort of Ibagué, it's not an overwhelmingly visited place. Of course, you're close to Los Nevados, which is a huge attraction, but the rest of Tolima is it's an unknown quantity. So maybe this is something we can talk about. And I know that you're going to be doing tours and photo workshops in that region with an outfit with which I am familiar, very professional, the Colombia Eco Travel with Daniel Buitron, and he's based just outside of Manizales. So of course he's got an idea. I know Manizales is Caldas, but he knows what the attraction is to that region. And of course you're going to be sharing it, positively with the kind of people that we want to attract to Colombia. Exactly. So, well, we'll take a short break right now, and we'll come back with Michael Evans, and we'll be talking a little bit further about what he's doing and what he plans to do, and what small town life is like in Tolima, in Líbano. So we'll take a short break. This is episode 207 of Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. Remember, check out Michael's website at www.d76.com. US, those are the numbers. Anyway, thank you for listening. Don't go away. We'll be right back. And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in Bogota, Colombia, on the line to Michael Evans, known in some circles as Memphis Mike, who's in Líbano, Tolima. And, you know, one of the things that I like to speak about on this show is not only we talk about the bad things about Colombia, we talk about the good things about Colombia, we talk about everything to do with Colombia. Of course, this is Colombia Calling. But one of the things is, I know that I have an expat listener crowd, but I also have an international crowd out there in the US, Australia, UK. You know who you are, the people who write in. Thank you. It's so incredibly flattering that people should write in and listen to this sort of garage quality podcast, very niche about Colombia, and that people want to be on it as well. I mean, of course, we've all got something to sell, but people want to be on it and share their experiences. And that's why I think we've got Michael here on the line from Líbano, Tolima. We want to talk about life in a small Colombian town. I don't know Líbano. I know it's close to Los Nevados and that there is a tourism sort of potential and have a great catchment for mountaineering and hiking and so on. But what is it like in a small town for, you know, a guy from originally from Memphis who's lived in San Francisco, who's lived in Peru? That's what we want to talk about. That's what we want to give the impression. And of course, don't cannibalize your book because that's really the next thing that comes out, Michael. But tell us about what is it like? I mean, what's the population of Líbano?
The figures that I've seen are about 35,000, but I believe that includes the outlying areas too. I don't think there are probably more than 20,000 people in the town.
Mm-hmm.
It's very small. When I first moved here, there were very few people had cars who walked down the middle of the street. Now a few more people have cars, which is mostly taxis, motorcycles, and bicycles. And we also have one of the things that I think makes Líbano really charming is quite a few people let their cows and their horses roam free. So we have a lot of cows and horses wandering around town. I live right next to the main city park. So there are cows and horses. The other night I looked outside in the evening and there were like five horses in the park.
Now, I can't imagine that in San Francisco.
No, you wouldn't see that. You don't even see a street dog in San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah.
We have plenty of those around too, but. This is the first place I've ever lived in where you had cows walking past you.
But I like this. It's like the sacred cows and horses. It's like in India, but just wandering around. You got almost say that.
Exactly. And there's one cow that I used to name all of them. That I used to call Daisy May. I used to say she was the most beautiful cow in the world. She has very long eyelashes. And I would see her when she would come through. I'd actually go to the little corner store and buy some plátanos and go feed her her treat every day.
So. That's such a nice image. But what did the local people take of this gringo feeding the cow in the plaza?
Well, I think they've all got used to it now. I think most people. Occasionally, I'll get a double take. When I go downtown, maybe some farmer who's come to town who's never seen me before. But they're all pretty aware of me.
Okay. But it's these bizarre habits.
Right.
Of course, because, you know, it's second nature to them, a cow wandering around the streets. But to us, it's a novelty. It's part of the charm.
Exactly. And, you know, it's been one of the things that I've had to really guard against, and I'm not very successful at it most of the time, is things become everyday. And, you know, there's so many things that I don't photograph that I should photograph. You know, the horses and the cows wandering around. Here, you know, the horse and wagons are still used a lot for all kinds of services, from, you know, moving from one house to the next to delivering refrigerators to, you know, anything you can think of. Farmers still bring, quite a few coffee farmers will bring their harvest to town on pack. Things that become every day, to me as a human being, I have to be careful as a photographer, that I don't, you know, put down the camera.
Yeah. And as it's a small town, I imagine there's a lot of, let's say, youth. Everyone's zipping around now on the ubiquitous motorcycles that they can buy in installments on their electricity bill.
Right. And one of the things that's really popular here with the teenagers, there's a lot of skateboarders.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's skateboarders everywhere, and they're into... You don't see as many on motorcycles, But they're one of the things that's really big, and there are two things that are becoming more and more popular all the time. One is cycling, bicycling.
All right.
There's I just passed a shop the other day that's just in a house in the next neighborhood where they have some really, you know, high tech bicycles. And then also motocross.
Huh.
The park next to my house on the weekends, you just hear motorcycles all weekend because in fact the kids are out in the past couple of weeks, they've been out like just with a wheelbarrow and a shovel, building new jumps, new hills. Mm-hmm. They'll just, they'll go dig a hole in another part of the park and build a little jump, or a big jump. Some of them are over 2 meters high.
But it's pretty cool. Let's say teenagers, they're occupied there and they've got things to do. I can only imagine the bicycling, the cycling nature. Well, of course, this is a huge cycling country. But in that terrain, they're going to be a peak physical condition.
Exactly. Mm. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed about Colombians in general is that, sports are very popular when they're young, and they sort of stick with the sport that they start out with when they're young until they're elder.
Yeah.
You know, in many cases, they're still getting out on a bicycle. So you'll see a kid, I mean, I've lived here in this town for over 6 years, so I've seen kids grow up.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see them start out on their first bicycle, and the family will buy like an adult-sized bicycle for a kid.
Yeah.
It barely reached the pedal. And then, you know, 5-6 years later, you see them in full riding gear, you know, on a Trek bike or, you know, some other, I don't know, bicycles, but high-tech bicycle.
Yeah. In all of that gear, all the get-up, the brightly colored, cycling gear, the appropriate attire.
Exactly.
I can just imagine.
You have to have the uniform.
Of course, but appearance is everything here too, you know.
Exactly.
You are a location independent professional. You work from home. You take the photographs. You're selling your photography book on your website. You used to write for International Living and for whomever, business pieces and so on. But tell us a little bit. Tell us the listeners, because I know what I know the type of listener that this episode 207 will be attracting is those people dreaming of taking this plunge and going off and setting up life maybe in a pastoral setting, something like they have the image of Líbano in Tolima. What is your a day to day routine for Michael Evans in this town of 20,000?
Well, it's definitely much slower than my life in San Francisco was.
See.
And much more social.
Uh-huh.
In many ways. I can go out in my, you know, with my flip-flops on and buy anything that I need, any food or anything that I need right in my neighborhood.
Right.
It's just a very slow pace, which I... After years and years of living in Texas City, I really enjoy it. I enjoy having everything so convenient. I enjoy having fresh fruits and vegetables year-round right at my doorstep. Mm-hmm. Everything is grown, locally here. But there are a lot of things that I've had to get used to as well.
But I want to ask, I mean, you know, I'm used to cities as well, but I find myself, I'm 41, I find myself appreciating these, let's say, more simpler things in life. Again, the proximity of things, being able to walk around, taking things a lot easier. But I also would still enjoy in the big city the anonymity that it provides me with. When I'm in Mompox, of course, everybody knows who I am. And I do enjoy sharing a word with everybody in the street and even relationships with the bank tellers, etc., the moto taxis and so on and so forth. But I do find myself at times wanting, well, you know, today I don't really want to be part of the town. do you right. get what I'm getting at a little bit?
I do.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I know that, you know, every time I step, I'm the only gringo in town.
Mm-hmm.
There's one other American guy who lives outside of town on a farm.
Mm.
And, you know, he's in town more and more often. And he probably feels the same way as I do. Every time I step out on the street, especially outside of my neighborhood, I'm noticed.
Yeah.
You know, most of the people, I tend to be a creature of habit, so I go to the same stores, I do the same shopping all the time. So all of those people know me, and I'm just a regular figure.
Mm.
But almost every day when I go out, when I go to downtown Lebanon, someone sees me for the first time and does a double take. Stared at or whatever. It's not that it's uncomfortable, but, you know, I definitely stand out in the crowd.
Yeah.
Very few tourists come.
Yeah, well, you're exotic.
I'm exotic, yeah. I mean, we have one of the things that I love about Colombia is they have these little traditions that I've never seen anywhere else.
Yeah.
And one is that on holiday weekends, people just sort of pick a little, people from the city pick a small town and go there.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, those are the tourists that we see here. We rarely see foreign tourists.
Right.
When I see them, you know, I often want to run up and say, who are you and why are you here? Because this place is nobody. It's very picturesque, very, very traditional. But it's just not on the tourist map.
Right.
But I'm putting it there soon.
You're putting it there soon. Now, that's a nice feather in there to the tourists and the photo workshops that you're going to be giving with Columbia Eco Travel in 2018. They'll be based around Lebanon in that region?
I have two itineraries right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Columbia, and it's going to start in Bogota and go all the way to Bucaramanga.
Uh-huh.
The other one is the coffee culture.
Right.
Tour, and that's going to begin in Nareda and actually end up in Lebanon.
Oh, nice.
I think this is one of the things that I want to introduce people to. I mean, people come, tourists and even people coming on photo tours and workshops, they come with some knowledge of Colombia and they want to see places like
Villanueva,
and they should.
Yeah.
They should come there. They should see some of the main tourist attractions, the coffee triangle, you know, certainly around Manizales and even Salento. But this, I'm very excited about bringing people to Lebanon. And a little town that near, just up the hill from Lebanon, is a town called Morija, which is very extremely traditional. It's high altitude, so the people there wear the very thick vanas, the ponchos that are very thick and made out of wool, and there are more mules, the cars, literally, they actually have a hitching post. Main plaza, they have a hitching post. And I love to go on there on the weekends to photograph because all of the farmers come to town to buy supplies and to drink in the bar and socialize.
Yeah.
And it's just an amazing sight.
It's
literally mule trains walking along. Town, and many of the photographs in my book came from Morija. So I'm going to take people there.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring people here to Lebanon, where we can work in areas like the market, where it's just very traditional. The farmers come to town in their traditional clothing with the ponchos,
straw hat and a machete strapped to their side to come to the town to buy their supplies or to bring their coffee. I'm literally two blocks from the nearest coffee plantation.
Mm-hmm.
This is a coffee growing region, so it's very, tourists can go to places like Salento and get great pictures, but this is the real thing.
Yeah. Well, I like that, and I can hear your enthusiasm. And this is about Murillo. It's very exciting at all. It's like harking back to a time past. And what I like about photo tours and photography tours and workshops of this nature is that it's low impact. You're not bringing huge groups, and it's not. Obviously you want to build on it, but they're not going to be as frequent, let's say, as a bus tour or something else. You are easing these towns into tourism. It's not about dropping thousands in at once.
Right. I mean, my groups are going to be up to 12 people.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, this will be one of the last stops on that tour. So by that time, the people will have a chance to sort of acclimate to the culture and know the Colombian way before, you know, they descend on Lebanon.
Yeah.
With their camera.
Yeah.
But I think the people here will embrace it because they're so inquisitive.
Mm-hmm.
They're so interested in other people and their cultures, so I think it's going to be a very good thing for Lebanon. I think it's going to be, I'm really excited about, meeting with other photographers and taking them to some of the places that I've enjoyed photographing.
Yeah. Well, and also, the people will embrace it, not only because it will be an economic stimulus, but because you are with them. They know you for years. This is something that's really key. You're not someone arriving from outside and trying to force something new. You've been there as a participant in their town for, let's say, 7 years or several years now. They know you are a trustworthy person, and this is a big deal.
Right. When Daniel at Columbia Eco Travel and I started talking about that, doing the photo tour, that was one of the things that we talked about.
Yeah.
That I live here.
Yeah.
This is my everyday existence.
Yeah.
There's no novelty. All the novelty has worn off for me. I'm just a photographer in my environment.
Mm-hmm.
And we were saying that we thought we were going to create something really good because I am a local.
Yeah.
Not just here in Lebanon, but in Colombia.
Yeah.
These places for work and pleasure many times. So, you know, I feel like it's a second home to me. Whereas, on the other hand, you do have other photo tours, maybe with someone who photographs for National Geographic. Something, to that nature, where they come in and they sort of apply the formula that they use in this setting.
Mm.
So I'm excited because I think, especially working with Daniel and Columbia Eco Travel, because they live here too.
Yeah.
You know, they live in a small town out in the countryside outside of Manizales.
Yeah.
So I think, working together with them is going to really good partnership, and I think it's going to work very well for the people who take the tour.
Well, I think so, and I think so, and I think you'll organize this very, very well to ensure that the local people feel included, not as if they're in a fishbowl, included in these tours. Now, as we wind down, just got a couple more minutes. In the first segment, you did suggest that you went out and took photographs in former red zones or red zones. Around where you are has been affected by the conflict. But I mean, what have been your let's say observations of this?
Strangely, it hasn't been
completely unnoticeable until after he's agreed.
Yeah.
There have been a couple of incidents since then. There was a earlier this year, there was a rogue FARC detail that was threatening the town. They were threatening. They used quite menacing language.
Yep.
They were threatening a social cleansing.
I know about that.
Yeah, you know, and it was disturbing because I'm the only foreigner. They may, someone may get the impression that I have money simply because I'm a foreigner. You know, that has existed in many places that I've been, which is not true. And, you know, you have the history of kidnapping. So I was a little, you know, I kept a low profile for a few days, but I never felt really afraid.
Yeah.
Never felt afraid here. Up at Mauricio, there were, you know, just probably even 10 or 12 years ago, that town was attacked quite often.
Yeah.
The first time I went to Mauricio, the police station was very fortified, obviously fortified. They had, you know, probably, you know, 2 meters high of sandbags in front of the police station, and they had a machine gunner, you know, stationed there 24 hours a day. Since then, they built a new police station, which I'm sure is quite fortified the way it's built. But from what I understand, that police station was attacked quite regularly. I don't know if it was, the FARC started here in Tolima.
Yeah.
Not in this region of Tolima, but I believe it was the FARC in this area.
Yes, definitely.
Who had a lot of control outside of the town.
But fascinating to have observed this change, this evolution in Colombia as well in a small town. It's, you know, more grist for the mill, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I've noticed more than anything in this town is just the explosive growth of the middle class here.
Mm-hmm.
It's growing from working class to small town Colombian middle class.
Yeah.
And it's exciting to watch.
Yeah.
But the conflict, there have been two incidents this year, but other than that, it's virtually unnoticed.
Well, it's fascinating. Well, Michael, we're winding this down now. It's been a real pleasure talking to you and gaining an insight into small town life in Colombia and of a location independent professional. Let me just again mention Michael Evans's website. Do check it out, www.d76.us. And, of course, check out Colombia Eco Travel if you're interested in tours and photo workshops, because you might even get on a tour with Michael. So let me just take this moment to say thank you so much for sharing your insights and opinions and a little bit of slice of life in rural Colombia with the listeners and with me, of course.
Thank you for inviting me. I've enjoyed it.
No, and definitely next time we get this cultural fair together, we will get you up here to Bogota and you'll be pitching your next book.
<I'm still>.
Well, listen, thank you again. This has been Colombia Calling. I've been Richard McCall talking to Michael Evans in Líbano, Tolima. This is episode 207. Thank you so much for all of you out there for listening. We'll be back next week with another interesting interviewee on the line somewhere from around the world. We've had from Sydney, we've had from Líbano, we've had from, Wisconsin recently. So, yes, we'll keep on looking for those interesting folks out there to talk about Colombia. So this is me signing off on this episode 207. Thank you again. Bye-bye.